Three points. Amen. Amen. Point number one, light without love is incomplete. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 3 is where we're going to be. And this is really where our theme verse is taken from. So this is a sort of a teaser for our theme for the year. Amen. And over the next few, actually, Alex is going to preach next week on Thanksgiving. He'll do our Thanksgiving Day sermon, which Jeff is grateful he doesn't have to do the Thanksgiving sermon this year. We got to get you up there again here soon, bro. And the month of December, is our elders will be preaching, amen. But this is, as we look forward to 2026, chapter 8, verse 1. And this is on the heels of chapter 7, which is a very fascinating passage in and of itself, as Paul is dealing with some serious relational issues in the church. And chapter 7 deals specifically with some marital stuff. Wow. And it's interesting, he pivots from chapter 7, really talking about marriage relationships and all of these things, and, you know, a woman not being bound to her husband if he leaves, all these different things. And then chapter 8, he picks it up, he goes, now about food sacrifice to idols. You're going, what? This church has got some stuff going on in it, you know. They got all kind of stuff going on in the church. You know, they got a man who's sleeping with his father's wife in the church. You've got divisions in the church. There's people that are talking about, well, I follow this guy, and this guy baptized me, and I follow this guy. And Paul has to come in and go, what? All the divisions in the church? And what's happening in this church in Corinth? And, you know, you just need to go to church to find imperfect people. Are you with me? You go to church, you're going to find plenty of imperfect people. If you thought you came to the church with people who didn't have, who had their act together, you came to the wrong church, amen? Turn to the person to your right, say, I know you don't have it all together. Just turn and say to them, I know you don't. To the person to your left, too, say, I know you messed up. I know you messed up. That's right. See, you can't even do that without laughing, amen? Some of y'all enjoyed that a little bit too much. You're like, well, you jacked up, bro. You're like, I don't even, how'd you get in here, amen? Now about food sacrifice idols. We know that we all possess knowledge. But knowledge puffs up while love builds up. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know. But whoever loves God is known by God. Amen. You love that? You know, you can read this and think this was an issue about meat. Oh, they're having an issue about meat, about food, sacrifice idols. That's not the problem. The issue is always a relational issue, amen? It's always about a relationship with God, a relationship with people. That's what it's always about. It's not about eating meat. It's about this. It's about relationships. It's about people getting along with other people, which is some of the hardest thing to do. Has anyone ever thought, God, I love people, whoo! Which is where God says it, how can you love God who you've not seen and not love the people you see? Amen. God deals with that, amen? But I get it. I get it. This is not an issue about meat. It's not even an issue about knowledge. Because I do believe people knew the right thing to do, but this was an issue of heart. It was a spiritual pride. It was a relational distance in the church. The Corinthians, they had the right knowledge, but they didn't have the right heart. They were shining light, but not offering love. Let me show you what Paul means. The ushers have handed out to some of you some ping pong balls. I shamelessly stole this illustration from online. I stole it from the X top book thing. The X top book. Face tube. The face tube. The Twitter box. The Xbox. Okay, whatever. All right. I have here a cup. Let me have your ball. I want you from where you sit. I want you to throw your ping pong ball into the cup on a count of three. Why did you give them to the teens? On a count of three. Listen to me. You're throwing them at the cup, not at me. Why do you have 10 of them? One, two, three. Yep. Part of three did y'all miss? No. Alex, what part of from where you sit did you miss? Yeah. So, no one made it except me. And why didn't you make it? It's because, like this, like discipleship, it's about proximity. It's about proximity, amen? You see, Jesus, we have to be close to one another to know one another. We have to be close to one another to love one another. And sometimes this is a little bit like our spiritual lives. Right? We're just all over the place spiritually. But the closer we get to one another, the more we can know and the more we can love one another. It's interesting because oftentimes it's not the thing we want to do, but it's the thing we need the most. What we need more than anything is to be close to one another. What we need more than anything is to be known by one another. To be loved by one another. But we know our enemy, the devil, is going to tell us, that's not what you need. What you need is more time alone. It is a great Western philosophy for everything. By yourself, alone. You can do it by yourself. You can do it alone. My relationship with God is just between me and God. That's a lie from the bowels of hell. Nowhere in the Bible, you made that up. It's not in the Bible. It's always personal, but it's never individual. Amen. Always personal, but never individual. You know, Jesus didn't say go and declare. He said go and make disciples. He didn't say just declare who you are. Make sure that they have all the right knowledge. No, he said you've got to get close enough. You've got to be close to one another. You've got to make disciples. And I tell you, it's sometimes the hardest thing in the world to do. It's hard to be close to people. Especially when you've been hurt, right? You know, everybody here in this illustration, we all had, those of you that, you had a ball. You had the same instructions. You knew the same target. Knowledge wasn't the issue, was it? Distance, that's the issue. That's the issue, is how close are we to one another? Because by love, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. We can have all the right thing. We can have all the right rationale. We can have the right scriptures, and we can miss the heart. We can shine our light, and we can still be very, very, very far from people. Amen. God wants us to be close. And this is a challenge for us. This is a challenge for all people, all humans. It's a challenge particularly for us in America right now. There are so many things that our enemy is trying to divide us over. Race. I tell you, I grew up in the 70s. I felt like I was very culturally aware in the 70s. Okay? Carlton's a little bit older than me. I think Carlton was in his 30s in the 70s or something like that. But I felt like I was a little pretty hip kid in the 70s. I knew what was going on. You know, I did. I had a fro and I had the whole thing going on, okay? But I will tell you, there's more division around the subject of race than I've experienced in my lifetime. So much so that we're afraid to talk to each other, aren't we? We're afraid to say things to one another. You had to say it the right. What did you mean? What does that mean? What, you being racist? I mean, there's a little bit of everything, right? Like, can we even have a conversation? I mean, we're like, you know, like someone came up with a thing called microaggressions. So you know how much you got to be reading someone's mind to figure out whether they're being aggressive towards you? Have you ever thought about that? Like, you got to be reading their mind to be able to go, they're being aggressive toward me. Maybe they're not thinking about you at all, but that's aggressive. Okay. You know what I mean? It's aggressive to not be thinking about me all the time. I don't know what to do with that. I really don't know what to do with that thinking. I don't. If I'm thinking about you all the time, there's a problem. If I'm not thinking about you, there's a problem. I don't know what to do, okay? Why are you talking about me? Why are you thinking about me? Why are you not talking about me? I don't know what to do, okay? And so what we do is we just don't interact very much. I don't want to talk about that. Oh, don't get me started on politics. We can't even talk about politics. We can't have a civil conversation about it. We can't. It's impossible. We can't. Something that I think is like cartoonish, in my opinion, or that we should be able to talk about it, but we can't. I do. I think it's cartoonish. I think if you believe these people are going to change your life, that's funny to me, okay? I think that's hilarious. I do. I believe that's hilarious. And so we get worked up about who's going to be the next king in America. We have a king. Amen? Or queen, or whatever, okay? But there's so many things we're divided over. Satan is dividing us over gender. Over so many issues. And I'm telling you, it's just harder and harder to want to be close. It's harder. People walk away because they think you think a certain way. I have people that they pick apart my sermons and they think they know where I stand on political issues. They pick it apart. I think Vince said that, so I'm pretty sure he believes this. And I don't care what you think, okay? You want to throw what I think? Come and talk to me about it, amen? What I would tell you is I don't care. I care more about the people in this church. I care about who we vote for. Trust me. I care way more about the individuals in this congregation. And that's no disrespect. I want to respect whoever's elected and whoever's leading our country. Or thinks they're leading the country. I think it's God. Amen. But I just want to respect all people. Okay? But I'm going to tell you, there's more reasons for us to be divided than ever. Let's go a little deeper. Point number two. You know, God knows you deeply.
Yep.
You know, that should change everything for all of us. Amen.
Yeah.
Every human being wants to be known. Every human being wants to be seen. Every human being wants to be understood. Every human being wants to be valued. All of us want that. We all want to be known. We want to be seen. We want to be valued. We want to be understood. Women, let me just tell you, you're not the only ones that want to be seen. Amen? You're not. Men want to be seen too. Okay? But we do need to do a better job of seeing the women. Amen? Seeing our kids, valuing our children, understanding one another, knowing one another. This is what we all need. It's what we desire more than anything else. And let me tell you something. God sees you. God knows you. God understands you. God values you. God dignified you by creating you in his image. Amen?
Amen.
And let me tell you, man, you know what Adam and Eve did? When they sinned, they hid themselves. Why? Because sin makes us want to hide, right? Toxic shame makes us want to hide. It makes us want to run and flee and not be visible at all. It's the last thing I want to do is to be present or to be around anyone or to see anyone. I don't want that at all. I don't want to be known. I don't want to be seen. I kind of still want to be valued. Yeah, I do. But I feel so invaluable or unvalued that I feel so low and bad, and I just don't feel like even anyone would understand my sin or what I've gone through. And let me tell you, God does understand. See, God knows you.
Amen.
He loves you. And here's the cool thing about God. God doesn't really want, he wouldn't just want to love you in the future. He loves you now.
Yeah.
God's knowing, it's intimate.
That's right.
His love, it's not clinical love. You know, the word for know in the Bible is yada, right? It's this intimate, personal knowing. God knows your story. God knows our wounds. God knows our fears. God knows our trauma. God knows our joys. He knows our weaknesses. He knows the things we desire. He knows our hopes. He knows the pain that no one else sees and no one else knows. He knows that so well. He knows all your pains. He knows the struggle. He knows your frustration. He knows how you're thinking about yourself and how you're thinking about your circumstances. He knows all of that about you. And he doesn't. Like I said, he doesn't love a future version of you. Which we're tempted to think, you know what? I got to get it all together so God will love me. There's a future version of me that God's going to love. But God goes, nah, I love this version of you too. Turn to your neighbor and say, God loves this version of you too. I mean, you were a little louder when you were telling them they were messed up. I mean, you're jacked up. Man, oh, God loves you. Yes, God loves this version of you too. He does. He loves his version of you too. It's not the best version of you. He's not through with you yet. It's not the best version. There's more yet to come, amen. But he loves this version of you as well, amen. See, being known by God, it should free us. It should help us to want to know others. See, when we're deeply known, you don't fear closeness, amen. When you know God knows you, closeness is not a big issue. It's pretty cool. You know, it's like when you became a Christian. You remember your baby Christian days? You became a Christian on campus, in the campus ministry. You remember when you got open about your sin, you finally got it all out there, you confessed all your sin, and you went, man, I was never going to tell anybody any of that stuff. I was going to take that stuff to my... But once you got it all out, you couldn't wait till you did a Bible study with someone else and then say, hey, Vince, you want to share your sin? Absolutely. Let me tell you what I did. Galatians 5, you know, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. I mean, you just went down the list. And you'd be confessing your sin loud. We'd be in the student center. Kids are walking by and go, yeah, I slept with such and such. And I was doing this and that. And people were like, hey, shh. You're freaking out the whole... You're like, oh, I don't care who knows my sin. When I was in college, I bet I confessed my sin to 200 kids that never became Christians. You know, like, wow. If they walked up to me, they, Vince, you remember you told me, like, we studied the Bible? I don't even remember you. You know what I mean? I went through so many Bible studies with so many people, and we get to say, I just tell them my sin, and they look at me like, you did what? And you're a Christian? I mean, I just would tell them, it didn't really matter. Because I wasn't afraid to be close and tell you my sin, because I know you got sin too. Now it's your turn. What you got? What you got? Remember that? Once you are known by God, it doesn't really matter. Amen. When God knows you, you don't have to perform anymore. Amen. When God loves you, you don't have to hide anymore, amen. Known people are safer people, amen. Safe people build safe communities of believers, amen. And this is how we become a family. But let's go a little deeper, amen. The God who drew near, the God who draws near. I mean, you read through the gospel, it is packed with stunning relationships. The people that Jesus, when he stepped into people's world, when he touched the leper, when he blessed the children, when he wept over Lazarus, when he carried that cross through the streets, when he washed disciples' feet, when he embraced the cross, the nails, when he stood in for sinners, when he sat with the lonely, when he healed the unhealable and touched the untouchable. Jesus was about being close to people. He was about into stepping right into our mess, getting as close as he could, getting into our world and knowing us better and loving us all the more. I mean, Jesus knew every one of you and died for you, and he died for you again if he needs. He saved the world by getting close to the world. He didn't love from a distance. He didn't heal from far away. He didn't disciple in theory. He didn't disciple through knowledge. He discipled by proximity. One table, one fire, one conversation, one foot washing at a time. That's how Jesus did it. One foot washing, one conversation at a time. In fact, it could, in some ways, you could think at the end of his ministry, what's this, 120 people? You mean Jesus walked the earth for 33 years and only 120 followers of his at the end? If you just sort of looked at the number, you kind of go, was Jesus very successful at it? I'd say he was very successful, amen? But he knew it was going to take one at a time. It wasn't going to be about, hey, let's post it on some social media platform, and that's going to do it. Let's make sure that we have a really good online presence. That's not going to do it. I mean, people will check in, click on, stay for a while. I mean, even some of the people at home right now, they're probably watching, and they might be watching a game, or they might be, you know, wandering around. See, y'all are in here. You're stuck, amen? You got to look at me and pretend like you're paying attention. You know what I'm saying? We're known because Jesus drew near, amen? We love because Jesus loved first, amen? And Jesus loved near, amen? We disciple one another because Jesus discipled, and he not only discipled, but he discipled near, amen? And if Jesus brought salvation through closeness, then the only way for us to carry the mission forward is to be close, to get close, and to fight for closeness, amen? This is a challenge for us. Which leads me to point number three. A light-bearing church must become a known and loved church. You know, we're about to enter our 40th year as a church. Next year is our 40th year. So Memorial Day weekend, save the date. We're going to have a weekend of remembering, a homecoming of sorts. There's a committee working on it. Lou Garcia is in charge of that committee. On that committee is Jeff Hovey, I think, Carlton, and Laura Roberts, some of the veterans from this church. I won't say old-timers, the mature people, amen? But let me say something gently and truthfully. Our relationships as a church have to get stronger. Just heard of a young couple that said, you know what, we're going to a different church, we feel lonely. We're going to go to a different church, we feel lonely. Now, I'll say that's my fault. I'll take responsibility for that. I'm not blaming anyone. I'll own that. I'm owning it because I think we all have to own something, amen? Okay? But if you want to put that burden, I'll take it, okay? I've not done a very good job of helping us to be closer as a church, amen? But our relationships need to be strong. Before COVID, our relationships were spotty. A number of circumstances led to there was a lot of sort of transition in the church, and every time there's a transition, there's an opportunity for Satan to break away some relationships, to break some trust. And while you can say what you want, hey, Vince leaves, we're going to be better as a church. And I believe you will be, amen. But it's an opportunity for some people to go, well, you know, guess I'll just kind of mosey on over here. Some of us, we're like that. When there was a transition from the Manos to the Alexanders and Mosiers and what's that, Blairs, that transition, it created a little funkiness. It did. Say the obvious, just say it out loud. It was a little funky, okay? All right? But then the transition from them to me was a little funky. I mean, it was around this time of the year, I was driving from Columbia to here to preach. I was driving back and forth down up and down 70, trying to leave the Columbia church and be here, be present. That was funky. That was challenging. I've been scarred since then. I'm a little bitter. No, I'm not. I'm better, amen. I actually loved it. Loved coming. But it was a little funky. And so our relationships got a little funky. They did. And you probably can look around. A lot of people trans left and with some weirdness and people left. Right?
Yeah.
And then we had COVID. Well, that didn't make things funky. And we even got funkier. We got funkier. Some of us got so funky, we were mad at one another because of COVID. How dare you go to church and not wear a mask or wear it that way or not wear N95. But we were just kind of, we were just weird places, you know what I mean? We were just mad. I get it. We were funky, okay? People were mad at me. I mean, someone came, someone was mad at me once because I was preaching at a mic that someone else preached at and I didn't wipe it off. I'm going, it never even occurred to me that I need to wipe the mic off. They were mad at me about that. How dare you? We're just funky. And you remember, we had the whole George Floyd thing? That made us funky. And we just got scattered. And some of us have had a hard time really kind of getting reconnected. And after COVID, progress has been slow, but honestly, it's nowhere near what Jesus, I believe, came down to do for us. I don't think we're the people, I think we can all say, man, I think we can say, you know, I definitely can stand to be closer. I'm not nearly as known as I need to be by God. By others. And you can kind of trick yourself and say, oh, God knows me well. God knows my heart. Anybody ever say that? God knows my heart. Yeah. You know, you saying God knows your heart is like you not knowing the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all. God does know your heart, which is why he said you need to have people in your life. Amen. He knows your heart's deceitful. He put it in scripture. I think you've forgotten that. Amen. We're friendly, but friendliness is not always fellowship. We're kind, but kindness is not always connection. We are present sometimes. Sometimes we're present. Sometimes we're present. But presence is not always intimacy. So 2026, it's got to be a year where the light becomes love as a church. Amen. And love becomes proximity, and proximity becomes true family in the Lord. That is what known and loved is all about. We have an opportunity, I believe, to repent as a church. An opportunity to, I'd say, lay down our distance. Amen? Some of us, we've been distant. Some of us have avoided closeness. Some of us carry quiet resentments. Some of us, well, we've withheld ourselves from others. Some of us, we've been hurt and we've never healed. Some of us have preferred safety over vulnerability. Some of us, we've been around here for years, but we're not known by anyone anymore. Today, God's not condemning anyone in this room. Today, God's inviting every one of us in this room. Amen? He's invited us back to community. Back into community, amen? Inviting us back into honesty, back into vulnerability, back into connection, back into closeness with him and with one another. And I'll tell you, I'm the kind of person that I like to beat myself up a lot when I make a mistake. I do. I have a hard time when I blow it. I remember, I'm still trying, I've told you this before, I'm still trying to catch a ball I dropped when I was 11 years old in football. Still trying to figure out how to catch that ball. It's not a gift, it's a curse, I believe. Amen? And thank God for my wife. She just goes, she's tried everything. You caught it. No, I didn't catch it. It was out of reach. No, it was in reach. you'll catch another ball? I mean, she tries everything. Can you just let it go? No. That doesn't work either. That's the kind of punishment I need. But if you feel God tugging at your heart, man, surrender your distance. Repentance is not a punishment, amen? It's not punishment. I believe when we repent in this area, I believe our relationships will be so much more fruitful. I believe we can return to that place. What was that? Dave Dewey was talking about that joy, that rejoicing, that excitement, that enthusiasm, that, not that reservation, but that vulnerability, amen? You can just lay it on down. You can let your light be love again. You can let your heart be open again so that God can not only transform you, but the person next to you, the person across from you, in front of you, behind you, the 60 people, almost 60 people that are studying the Bible that prayerfully will be our brothers and sisters soon. But God knows how many other people, the people in your community, in your neighborhood. Right. But honestly, this is just the way to live as disciples. Amen? Yeah. It's so much more freeing and so much more joyful. Yeah. Let's pray. Yeah. Father, thank you for being a God who draws near. For being a God that wants to be close to us. For being a God that you know us fully and you love us entirely, completely. God, we today lay aside our distance. We're going to lay aside our fear, our isolation, our pride. God, teach us to be closer. Closer to you. Closer to one another, closer to anyone, God, who wants to be near to you or near to us. God, make our church, make us a place, God, where every person truly feels known and loved. God, may 2026 be a year of healing, and reconnection, reconciliation, rebuilding, renewal, revival. It'd be a year where our hearts, our homes, our churches, our church, it brings you the glory that you so richly deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to leave you with three questions. Three questions. Who do I need to move closer to in order to love well? Who do I need to be closer to in order to love well? Question number two, where have I substituted knowledge for love? And number three, what one relational commitment will I make going into 2026 to become a person who is known and loved? I'll send these out to you in an email or text message. God bless you. Let's stand and close in song.